Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and this is Sunday afternoon, this Easter Sunday. It's my privilege to bring voices of the Passover and of Easter to you. Our first voice will be Dr. Jonathan Marks from the Jewish Synagogue, who will share the Jewish experience of Passover. And then Elizabeth Abraham, who is chaplain with Hospice of Lubbock, will help us to remember how joy and suffering, light and darkness come together so powerfully this time of the year. And finally, Father David Cruz will share some reflections on the significance of Easter for us this year. What a delight for me to have a guest, Dr. Jonathan Marks, professor at the School of Theater and Dance. In terms of the Jewish community in town, you have another leadership role.
Yes, I have the honor of serving as president of Congregation Sharath Israel, which is the local synagogue.
Jonathan, before we came on air, we were talking about the significance of the Passover. What a wonderful remembrance and story is tied in with the Passover. Out of your own tradition, as you remember, celebrate the Passover meal, what comes to mind for you?
Well, it's those two factors that you just mentioned. It's the Passover and it's the meal. And of course, as a child, you remember the meal most of all, especially the matzah ball soup. I really enjoyed that. That was a special treat. It's a special meal because it's a communal celebration. It is a moment. It's not done on the run. It takes its time. There is a structure to it. That structure is involved in the Seder. It's the order of things in which every year you return to this order to talk about the story of the Exodus. There is a strong commandment that we retell this story, that we tell it to the children, that we tell it to each other, that we never forget that we were slaves in Egypt and were liberated. But because we were slaves in Egypt, we should sympathize with the plight of others who are in some way enslaved.
So it's a celebration of deliverance, but also deliverance in the midst of suffering, suffering for a people, but suffering for humankind in general.
And with the food itself reminds you of the suffering and the sweetness.
The bitterness is captured in what? The bitterness of life, the bitterness of slavery.
There's horseradish to remind you of the bitterness. And there is salt water in which you dip some herbs, which is usually parsley. You dip some herbs and drink the salt water of the tears of exile, the tears of the Exodus. We also remember the Egyptian soldiers who perished in the Red Sea.
Interesting.
We mourn them. We mourn the loss of life.
The loss of life for you as a Jewish people, then for humankind as a whole. And then, of course, there's the unleavened bread, the bread for the journey, which became the manna in the desert.
The hasty bread that was baked while hurrying up to get out of town.
And then, of course, there's the wine, and then there's the lamb.
The lamb is mostly a bone, the paschal lamb bone. Paschal comes from Pesach, which is our Hebrew name for Passover. It is simply held up ceremonially. There's no commandment to eat lamb on the holiday.
But just to remember the lamb.
To remember the lamb, yes.
And of course, then the wine and the many blessings that punctuate the celebration are very important too.
Yes, well, I remember in grade school, people would call it pass out because there was so much wine. We are a religion that celebrates the joy of living. Wine.
Yeah. And of living, yeah.
And of living, yes. There's one holiday, a sort of topsy-turvy holiday, which is Purim, in which you are commanded to drink beyond the point of reason. We don't always do that, but...
But then the celebration of Passover, I'm fascinated by the Paschal moon. It's going to be a blue moon this year. And of course, Passover, the deliverance happened under the very moon that we witnessed during this week.
What a special time.
Before we came on air, I was remembering with you, you were part of a wonderful celebration of the Texas Liberators, the soldiers of Texas origins who were part of the liberation of the concentration camps during the Holocaust and during the Nazi times. What do you think was going on in the minds of those people who were suffering so much at the Passover, say, in 1945?
There was certainly despair. There was despair at what God had chosen them for. Oh, my goodness, I'm sure that there was a great deal of renunciation of religion. And there was also, improbably, celebration of religion.
The sparks of hope and of joy in the midst of so much suffering.
I think the sparks never quite entirely went away. I've spoken with survivors. They hate what happened to them. They try to deal with their hatred for the people who did it to them, but that is overcome by love and by joy at their deliverance, joy at continuing to live. And I think that sparks of that still existed in the camps.
What would your prayer and your hope be for humankind as you gather in hope to remember the past in this year's Passover?
This is a big question, Tom, but you've given me the clue, humankind, that we are one kind of people. To teach this lesson, to have people remember it, to impress upon them, no, those people are not really different. They may look different in some ways, they speak differently, they have different customs, but really it's just people. We should remember that humanity is one kind of animal.
Loved by the one same God who is Father of all.
Yes, we really have more alike than we have different. Of course, as you mentioned the Holocaust, we discover that there is such a thing as evil in the world. I don't know whether it's intrinsic to some people or whether some people are just given to be overtaken by it. It is deeply saddening, the chagrin I feel at discovering how easy it is for people to fall into it.
But again, there's the essential hope, the light of Passover that shines on all of us.
We hope that humankind will continue to deliver itself.
In deliverance, how beautiful. So that would be your Passover remembrance for this year to share with our listeners.
Now that you mention it, yes.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It's been a delight to have you as part of this special remembrance of Passover.
A pleasure to be with you and speak with you, Tom.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Tom McGovern, your host. As a continuing reflection on this Easter Sunday afternoon, we have as our guest Elizabeth Abraham, who is chaplain with Hospice of Lubbock and has been on our show many, many times. Elizabeth, before your segment, we had a wonderful reflection from Dr. Jonathan Marks. He led us to a beautiful reflection on the meaning of the Passover in terms of not just for the Jewish people, but for all of humankind, and then the ongoing story of the Passover, which is recounted in the Passover meal down through the centuries and through the millennia, actually. As you look at Easter this year, within that context and within the continuation of a human's struggle with pain and suffering, how do you see Easter this year for you, Elizabeth?
The older I get, maybe more open I become to not closing myself off to suffering and to be able to walk into the sufferings that other people have with them, not ever thinking what I can give them, but knowing that a presence with them in the wilderness, in the darkness, will help them to make the meaning that is there for them.
So there's no Easter without Good Friday.
There is no Easter without Good Friday.
Without the agony in the garden, right. Without the suffering of the Christ.
And the Holy Thursday experience of the washing of the feet, the being servants to all.
This Easter time, this Passover time, is a reminder of the unity of humankind.
Very much so. Very much so.
And a community which celebrates together, which suffers together.
Yes. The great importance of how we need each other. Jesus didn't call just one companion, but 12 to be with him. And we need a diverse group of community to shed light and presence and insights on our journeys that involve suffering.
And of course, it wasn't just all men with Jesus. There was Mary Magdalene and his mother. So
there were a lot of women there.
So it's men and women and the unity of humankind that we celebrate this.
Very much so.
As you think back on Easter's past as a child, and we are our stories, really, what comes to mind for you in terms of as you remember Easter's?
Being with grandparents, my mother. My daughter is flying there, and my sister and her daughter will be there. And of course, I mailed them one of those really good honey-baked hams yesterday for that, because food is important to all of our celebrations.
So Easter in context of Eucharist in terms of shared breaking of the bread.
Yes, and being together.
For those who are struggling this Easter, is what would you say to those who are perhaps because of grief or loss are in their own agony, their own garden this year?
To be open to the life that and the new beginnings that come along the way that enable us to embrace life again. I like to talk about with our patients and our families the new beginnings that will come to all of the family members, whether it's the one that will have new beginnings at death or the ones that will have new beginnings when their loved one does die. When we lose a significant other, our lives are forever transformed. I remember reading at one time and doing a sermon about the flowers that we find in the deserts of our life. Even it's not glorious new beginnings. It's sometimes we go kicking and screaming. A beloved woman of our community told me a few months before she died, she went to the emergency room and I get there and she goes, "I'm sorry I came here." She said, "I thought I would reflect on my life at the end and be so grateful for the amazing adventure I've had." She said, "and then go gloriously into the sunset." And I laughed at her and said, "that doesn't even happen very well in the movies." And there is, before we can get to that peaceful acceptance of our end of life here as we know it, there is much wilderness and much railing and much, my God, why have you forsaken me?
In terms of Easter prayers or Easter verses that would come to you that strike you as being significant?
The emptiness of the tomb on that Easter morning.
And the women come.
Yes, because I think it may have to do with birthing, that we are not afraid of the labors. There's lots of labor involved in coming into this world and in leaving. And so because of experiencing that, I think we are more open to looking at the empty tomb.
So it's an empty tomb, but he's not here.
I know.
He's gone. Wow. He's disappeared.
And then seeing glimpses of him and hearing the stories.
And then appearing to Mary Magdalene in the garden.
Yes. Yes. And that is rich.
There's a real haste. People running to tell each other the good news.
Yes.
He's risen.
That's right. That's right. And wanting to hold on to that and wanting to keep him here. And we can't. And I love the Doubting Thomas story of the resurrection narratives, because I am that doubting person. We do see signs and we do see those nail-scarred hands.
So it's the wonder of faith and hope and of love, which is maybe the trinity of virtue, which we celebrate at this time. So your prayer then for our listeners and for all of us this Easter would be what?
Always be open to the surprises of life, joy, hope, and love that come to us when we need it most.
Through a risen Christ and a present Christ and a suffering Christ, a Christ for all seasons. Elizabeth, your voice in the next segment will be the voice of a very familiar person in your life. Father David Cruz will continue this Easter, Holy Week, Lenten reflection. Thank you so much for being with us to celebrate this special feast day with us and for the message of real hope that you bring to our listeners.
Thank you, Tom.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's our delight this Sunday afternoon to be engaged in a very lovely Lenten reflection with my dear friend, Father David Cruz. So now Easter is upon us. As you reflect on Easter, David, in the context of a triduum of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, what strikes you about the importance of those three special days in a Christian tradition?
Thank you for that very easy question. That is a profound question. Of course, you know I'm being a little sarcastic. That is a very profound question because we're touching on the very heart of the meaning of Christianity. I would say this. For me, the Triduum, the 3 days, to me, it is a time of remembrance. In Spanish, for remember, we use the word recordar. That comes from a Latin word, recordare, which means literally return to the heart. For me, the 3 days that we celebrate in Christendom are really returning to the very heart of what it means to love Christ, to follow Christ, and what he did for us in his own loving way, and how he is with us to sustain us in our own journey, in our own life. And each of those days has a beautiful and profound meaning.
The Passover, our Jewish roots, our Jewish existence in the Passover, in the Eucharist, in the Last Supper, what does that mean to you?
Our Eucharist is based on the Jewish Passover meal. Your listeners may remember how Moses instructed the Hebrew people when they were still in captivity to take the blood of the lamb, the unblemished lamb, and to mark the doorpost. The angel of death would pass over them, and they would be spared. They would be free. Jesus, when he has the Passover meal, because, of course, Jesus is Jewish, he's a Jew, and he gathers his loved ones, his disciples around him. He uses that imagery of the lamb and the Passover and the blood. Of course, he says, I am the unblemished one. I am the lamb whose blood will be shed for the forgiveness of sins and for the restoration of humanity. Bear with me. I'd like to proceed my story about the agony in the garden with a little personal reflection. This dear, dear friend of many years, who, God rest his soul, has passed away, was a priest. And I once asked him, after so many years of being a priest, how would you describe it? He was more than 50 years a priest. He used the expression, it was the agony and the ecstasy. And you know that expression stayed with me. The reason it has stayed with me is because the agony is the very same word we use to describe the experience of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was his agony. And ecstasy, although a lot of people would think it's a sexually laden term, it's actually a spiritual term that many of the spiritual giants, they say, for instance, St. Teresa of Avila, great spiritual writer in the church, uses the term ecstasy to describe a contemplative state where one is in such deep prayer that they experience an ecstasy with God. So that expression stayed with me, the agony and the ecstasy. It's the way I think a lot of us would describe our own lives in relationship to God, that there are periods in our lives that we agonize over things.
Then we move through Christ's death, and then we arrive at the wonder of the resurrection. I don't want to pass over the death, because without the death, there is no resurrection. I don't know the origin of this. Sounds like Gerald Manley Hopkins, but I can't find it. Let him Easter in us be a day spring to the dimness of us, a crimson crested east. In what sense of new birth, springtime, new beginnings do you see this Easter?
Often when I think of Easter, of course, for me, it is all about God making all things new, the newness of life. I think of the verse from the book of Revelation, where God says, I make all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Easter is a new beginning. Whatever place we find ourselves in this world, whatever the brokenness of the world happens to be, whatever the pain, whatever the sorrows of the world and of our own lives, I don't know a single human being that doesn't have some pain at some point in their life. Hopefully most of us are happy most of the time or a lot of the time, but the truth of the matter is no one is absolutely complete in this life. We know that we have something more beautiful ahead of us, those of us who believe in the resurrection.
What would you say to people who are really suffering and searching this Sunday afternoon?
What we need to say all the time, and that is, God loves you. We love you. You're not alone. This is really at the heart of Easter. I said, these 3 days are all about returning to the heart. We return to the heart. And at the heart of the message of Christianity is that God does truly love us. Even if we feel that God doesn't love us, even if we feel unloved or unwanted, and I know there are people in this world who feel that, and that God does make all things new, and that even in the greatest pain and the greatest sorrows of our lives, the greatest disappointments, the greatest failures, there are new beginnings, and that the resurrection takes place countless times when we open our minds and our hearts and we see the love of God at work in the world, and we can do it and see it in so many simple ways, and yet those ways are so beautiful and they're so profound.
And His love will shine into the darkness of us and make all things new, especially the darkness, lighting the darkness. And maybe that part of the invitation of Lent and of the Easter season is to open ourselves wide, make a place for God, make a vacuum, if you will, identify the vacuum and let God fill it.
I wish you a beautiful new beginning this Easter season, that God may make all things new in your life, Tom. And I thank you and I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here and to reflect on the meaning of Lent and Easter.
David, it's been a delight to have you back.
Thank you.
We've been honored this Sunday to have as our special guests Dr. Jonathan Marks, Elizabeth Abraham, and Father David Cruz. Our special thanks to our guests this Sunday afternoon for making this special program possible. And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us on this Sunday as we reflect on light and darkness in the special significance of this holy season.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.